So we've been going through Peter's first letter. He talked a little bit about suffering, just in passing. Now, I know last week, what did we talk about last week? Pentecost. Holy Spirit. It's good, wasn't it, last week? Brilliant. But I've received complaints that we didn't quite finish the suffering. So I just wanted you to know it's all right. We're going to do some more this morning. Dear old Peter. through 1 Peter, he didn't just talk about it. It wasn't just on a downer. He talked about different aspects of where people suffer. Talked about the fact that we live in a pagan world whose master of this world hates you. Aren't you glad about that? The reason he hates you is because he hates Jesus. The sad thing for him is that there's nothing he can do about it, which is rather good news for us too. Okay, he reminds them that you're just passing through. This isn't where you live. You're just on a journey through. This is where you did live, and I've pulled you out, and now you're mine. You don't live in this kingdom anymore. You're not subject to its rules. You're in my kingdom, and you're subject to my rules. And we're walking together. You're a holy nation, a chosen people, that you might show forth the wonders of God. That call is on every one of us. There's no one can say I'm a Christian. God tells me to stay indoors because it's dangerous outside. He says, no. It's safer outside where the danger is, because that's where I am with you. I will never, ever leave your side. Or more to the point, you will never, ever leave my side. Okay. Don't be afraid. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when he is revealed, you will be revealed in glory with him. That's pretty amazing. Okay, so this bit is suffering as a Christian. Ooh. Didn't know you had to suffer as a Christian. I thought it was all wonderful, wasn't it? Isn't it all warm and cozy when you're a Christian? All your problems end, don't they? God gives you everything you need and want. You never be upset by anybody. Oh, okay. From verse 12. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or a thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. I like that one. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who don't obey the gospel of God? And if it is with difficulty, excuse the capitals, that the righteous is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? Therefore, those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Don't be surprised. God has a plan. He knows what he's doing in your life. It isn't something strange. It's for your testing. That's not testing to see if you'll make it, by the way. You haven't got a hope. outside of him. It's testing as you would test gold in a furnace. Gold they used in the tabernacle, for instance, was put in a furnace and it was heated extremely hot. One of the things that happens with gold when you put it into a furnace, do you know what happens to gold when it goes into a furnace apart from melting? Absolutely nothing. Gold can come out of a very hot furnace, resolidifies completely. It doesn't lose its colour, it doesn't lose anything about it. It just will pass through the fire. Unfortunately for the dross, anything that's alloys in the metals or whatever will just vaporize and it will clean it. And when God has that gold, he used that in the tabernacle and the temple, and it was pure gold. Gold always speaks of God in the Bible. And your salvation is all of God. Your new life is all of God. And there is a purity that God is bringing into our lives. Guess how he does it? Not by saying, no, have another couple of hours in bed, it's all right. I'll get Wendy to bring you a cup of tea up. Hope you heard that bit. No, it's through the fires of affliction. I can feel that encouragement rising now. It's wonderful, isn't it? Bring it on, Lord. but it is for your good, but it's for the glory of God. I got some quotes from Oswald Chambers, which I'll do every now and again. This is one of them. It says, if you're going to be used by God, he will take you through a number of experiences that are not meant for you personally at all. They're designed to make you useful in his hands and to enable you to understand what takes place in the lives of others. Because of this process, you will never be surprised by what comes your way. It's only through our relationship with Jesus Christ that we can understand what God is after in his dealings with us. So don't be surprised when you get challenged. Don't be surprised when things appear to go wrong. Don't be surprised when people suddenly tell you they don't like you anymore. And don't be surprised when God says, I love you and I will never stop loving you. All of your days are in my hands. Don't be afraid. He's the only one that can lay a banquet in the presence of my enemies. One day that's going to happen. It's called the wedding feast of the Lamb. And it's going to be a huge shindig. And we're all going to be there. Verse 3, keep on rejoicing. You're not suffering alone. You're sharing Christ's sufferings. Everything we go through, he goes through with us. Or if you prefer it the other way, everything he goes through, we go through with him. It doesn't make a lot of difference. But it's happening because you're united in Jesus. Something is happening in Jesus with regard to this world, with regard to the people in this world. Salvation is still an ongoing work. Hebrews 5:8 says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Even Jesus had to learn those things. There were things where he spoke out because he walked with God. He suffered for it. And you will do the same. Probably already done the same to some degree. And of course, fortunately, there is a suffering that he went through that we could not. And he did that for everybody. He did it for you and me as well. Only he could do that bit. But there was a suffering that continues. Philippians 3:9, Paul said, I'm not seeking my own righteousness, nor are we, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Who wants that? Yeah, Oh, hang on a minute. There's a bit more. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Uh-oh. Being conformed to his death, so that I might obtain the resurrection from the dead. When we look at what Jesus went through, that's how we're going to go through. And we've already heard this morning, it's been interesting over particularly the last kind of 4 or 5 years, how things have quietly been creeping into this country, how the attitude has changed in this country, where it's even Europe have discussed the fact that UK is fast becoming an anti-Christian nation. It's quite fascinating. They even passed a resolution. I think it was 2011 they did that. Expressing their concern. It's not bad, is that? Good old England. God's not surprised. He's not sitting on his throne thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? England was always on my side. It's not fair. God knows exactly what's doing. And he knows exactly who he's got to do the job with him. You and me. Verse 14, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Do you think that is amazing? When you go through tough times, don't look at the tough times. Just fall back into that relationship you've got with Jesus, because the Spirit of glory is on you. Jesus said, if they loved you, they'll love me, they'll love you. But if they hated you, me, they'll hate you. Don't be afraid, because I'm here. He won't leave you alone. He's with you in your trial. You have to find that place of trusting rest, and then you'll find his comfort. And God comforts us because he cares about us, but there's another reason why he comforts us. Very, very important. God won't leave us without comfort. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they're troubled. He'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So, I know some of you have gone through some really difficult things, and you've probably wondered, why did I do something wrong? Which is quite often our first stop. What did I do, Lord? I didn't realise. No, it's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with your sin. This is something that this is the refiner's fire. And this is where, because he loves you, he will let you go through that. But you will find God's comfort when you go through. And you are then in a position. It's easy when somebody comes going through a terrible time, you can say, oh, it's not right, is it? It's awful, I feel so sorry for you. When you say, yeah, I know what you're talking about, I've been there. And this is what God can do for you. And you can actually come alongside them and you can be a comfort from God, which is what God wants. He wants you to comfort people. He wants you to express the love to people, some of which who are unlovely. Not that there's anybody like that here, I know. I never have been. But there are people who are really horrible. And God is going to say, I love that person so much, and I want you to just go and be with them, to love them. If you've gone through an experience they've gone through, then you're just the right candidate. Verse 15, of course, it says, make sure you don't suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a meddler. What's that all about? We can own our Christian life as a kind of a bolt-on to our lives. You know, you hear people say, you know, oh, just come to Jesus, you know. It's free and, you know, it's great. It'll make your life really fantastic. you know, and he'll care for all your needs and he'll do this and that. Oh, it'd be wonderful. And you sort of think, why doesn't everybody become a Christian overnight? Because it doesn't work like that. But we can do our own thing with God. We can want the benefits of salvation and yet stay in control. I'm the Lord of my life, thanks very much. God, you need to ask me my permission. God said, oh, I didn't know that, sorry. Has to ask our permission. And we're all, in varying degrees, in that state. There are areas of my life I'm in control of. And God, in his mercy, just brings circumstances to bear in those areas that I closely guard, that to me are so special, so precious, no one is going to get a look into this bit. And along come the circumstances, along come the people, and that could be an illness. It could be anything. You could lose your job. I wasn't looking at you, Matt, don't worry. You could hit poverty. It could be anything. But God will break us and break us and break us. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he loves us. But also because in this world, there is a call on our life. A vital call on our lives for every one of us. None of us are exempt. That we should show forth the salvation and the goodness of God to a dying world, to a people that are heading away from God permanently. So God is determined. He will break our natural strength so that our new life, our real life, actually can operate more and more. Okay. This is another quote from Oswald Chambers. It says, we're not fundamentally free. External circumstances are not in our hands, but they are in God's hands. The one thing in which we are free is in our personal relationship to God. We're not responsible for the circumstances we're in, but we are responsible for the way we allow these circumstances to affect us. We can either allow them to get on top of us, or we can allow them to transform us into what God wants us to be. And God will bring those pressures and he will squeeze us into a corner until we've had enough, basically. And we can misunderstand that, because when things go wrong, because, you know, you're taught so often, you know, oh, when you've got God, the sun always shines, it's lovely. But God's on your case and he won't get off it, which is great. He will never, ever fail you. He will never reject you. He's able to get you where he wants you, and he's already seen it happen. But all of these things are to enable us and to enable his church to actually do the work that Jesus was doing when he was here. And when Jesus went, guess who he's got left? In Belvedere and around. God's man of faith and power. Well, no, maybe not. The amazing thing is not just that God delights in you and delights to be with you, but he also knows that his ability will enable you and us to do whatever he requires you to do. It requires our obedience and it requires our surrender, but the power is his. Okay. He's not against us, he's very, very for us, is God. It's not a light thing for him to afflict us, but the outcome is so vital to the welfare of this world. Seems almost unreal, you know, talk about me, get out of it. But it's true, just ordinary oddbods who quite often haven't got a clue what day it is, and yet God says, you're my man, you're my woman, I've called you and I've chosen you. I've got things that I planned before the foundation of the world for you to walk in. And verse 19, it says, We can keep on rejoicing because we are suffering according to the will of God. He's caring for our souls. Our worship to God in this life means living Romans 12, 1 and 2. Yeah, it's not just singing. We've had some wonderful singing this morning. And I really believe God accepts that. That's why he likes to be here every Sunday. Wouldn't miss it. But our real worship to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, offer to God your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable worship. Don't be conformed to this world. It's another place. And what we do in our bodies in this world determines whether people can get saved, whether the glory of God is revealed, whether the will of God is revealed, or whether we just hinder the whole thing. It's really that vital. So again, it's hard to believe because we say, what, me? God says, yeah, you and me. But it is so vital, a call on our life. And, you know, God wants us to be happy and warm and cozy, but that is not always possible when you've got a job to do. Are we willing to pay that price for God? Are we willing to walk with God, knowing he suffers too, but are we willing to share in that, that he can do what he needs to do, so that people can be set free, people can be saved, and dodge the judgment? Okay, last bit. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. That's past tense in case you're worrying. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know, we often say, what's my ministry, Lord? What's my ministry? Well, I can tell you what your ministry is. It's the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. One thing about being an ambassador in another country, you're subject to your country's rules. You're supposed to, in theory, be subject to the other one. But if you're American, you never pay your parking fines in London because they say we're a sovereign country. You can rebel. God may require you to pay it. But as an ambassador, you bring all of the authority and everything from your country into your field of operation where you are. And as ambassadors from heaven, we bring the name of Jesus. We bring the fact of the death and resurrection of Jesus. We bring the power that's in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that actually operates that power for us as we speak the word. We work together on it. And we set people free. You will pray for people, they'll be healed. People get locked up with the devil and all sorts of stuff. We have the authority to release them. And God is working in his church to purify it. The things we do in the dark, it's not dark to God. You know, we can put on our plastic faces to each other and, you know, how are you, brother? Oh, as he is, you know, and all this stuff that we do. But God looks at the heart and he says, oh, yeah, what about that? Oh. And that's what God's after, is after the heart. Because when you love from the heart, healing comes. When you love from the heart, people are set free. That's what Jesus did. And that is the heart that he's given us. It's a heart of love. It's a heart that responds, not a heart of stone that he's taken away from us. Our suffering in Christ is not the same as other people. God ordains or permits our suffering. It proves and strengthens our real faith. which is another aspect. When you go through it with God, you grow. You become strong. You become less timid. And you become experienced, which means when somebody's struggling, you can say, nah, it's no big deal. Been there, done that. I'll tell you how it works. And that's how we have to do it with each other. And, you know, God is on the move now. We've been sort of saying, oh, I believe God is going to move. I was coming to here this morning and it suddenly occurred to me, actually, I can't say that anymore. God's moving. God's moving amongst us already. And it might be small beginnings, but just let's go with him. Okay, so the last bit, question. Are we willing to give God full control of our lives and circumstances, owning our salvation as a lifelong walk with God, not just a one-off event? Oh yeah, I was saved 46 years ago. Yeah, just waiting to die now, really. But I own my life every day. There are rewards to earn, actually. Not out of my own righteousness, but out of my obedience, out of my submission to God, surrender God. And there's a crowns to be won, crowns of rejoicing, among others. And just the fact of seeing people that were enemies of God, exactly as we were, become adopted into his family and part of our family. Amazing calling, an amazing privilege that we've got. If we do, we'll both suffer according to the will of God, and we'll walk closer with him. We'll know him, which is what Paul's prayer was, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. If you're going to walk with God and serve him, you will need to know him, and you will need the power of his resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit. And those things are available and waiting. So, okay, let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that as I first looked at all this endless suffering, it seems, Lord, and you just sort of, oh, it's a bit depressing, Lord. But, Father, actually, it's not at all. It's just necessary because of the work that's needed. And the lovely thing about it, Father, is that we do nothing without you. We go nowhere without you, Lord, Father, and there's absolutely nothing that we can do apart from you. Even Jesus said that, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you are moving amongst us, Lord. And we want to ask you, Father, Lord, that you will take us with you, Lord, and that we will see you, Father, and we will see the power of your resurrection in our lives and through our lives reaching out to others, Father. Lord, we just pray that you give us a harvest, Lord. Open our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.